So the end of the tribulation, Jesus returns with his church in the second coming, and it's visible to all. In the rapture, his feet does not touch the ground. We meet the Lord where? In the air, in the clouds. But at the second coming, he's coming, he'll step foot on earth once again. And listen, he's not coming as a lamb meek and mild. He's coming as a king.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The message you're about to hear today is part of a series that's entitled, You Asked For It. I asked the church family at Holt Assembly of God to pick four topics they'd like to hear me preach and share from the Word of God. The first topic they selected were the events of the end time. In Revelation 22:17, Jesus said, Behold, I am coming quickly. Are you ready should the Lord make his return today? Would your family members be ready should the Lord make his return today? I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part 5 of the timeline.
Number 4 is the futurist view. This view teaches that all the events of Matthew 24, Revelation chapters 24 through 22 will occur in the future. The reason why we start in chapter 4, the first three chapters deal with the seven churches of Asia. All right? So that's why it starts at chapter 4, because these are things that must take place after, it says. So events that will occur in the future, futurists apply a literal approach to interpreting Revelation. Chapters 4 through 19 of Revelation refers to a seven-year tribulation. During this time, God's judgment are actually poured upon mankind. And we see those revealed in the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. But that's who we are as the Assembly of God. That's how most evangelical Christians are. We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. We have a futuristic view of the tribulation, meaning that we believe it's literal. We take these as 7 literal years of tribulation. The tribulation is a period consisting of 7 literal years where God pours out his wrath. And he does so in apocalyptic events, judging sin and evil. We believe it's 7 years because of what we read in Daniel's prophecy and what we read in Revelation. Having a pre-tribulation futurist view, we believe the church is removed from the earth, raptured prior to the tribulation. But why do we believe this? Well, here's a great example. Why do we believe that? Why do we believe that the church will be taken out? I quoted the scripture last week because God's not appointed us unto wrath, correct? But let's go even a step further. This one gives you even a better picture. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 29. And this is Jesus speaking using the example of Noah, speaking of these days to come. Look at verse 36. But of that day and hour, what? No one knows. I'm emphasizing that again. No one knows. You'd be surprised when you just start listening to people, what people think they know. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Verse 39, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. The tribulation has a worldwide effect, correct? Did the flood have a worldwide effect? Okay, so we're talking, why did the flood occur? Sin, because the sin of man had reached a place where God said no more. So he pours out what? Wrath, judgment. God is a God of grace. God is a God of mercy. But he's a God of wrath and judgment as well. But we like to leave that part out, don't we? It don't sell books, I know. The tribulation has a worldwide effect, just as the flood had a worldwide effect on mankind. In the flood, God did not destroy the righteous, did he? He did not destroy the righteous with the unrighteous. Noah does not know when the flood is coming. He doesn't know when. He doesn't have a calendar that says August so-and-so, the flood is going to start. You better get that ship done. The boat, the ark, that's not what happens. He, by faith, trusts God, and all he does is build the boat. And he gets his family inside of that boat. And we understand the animals come. Who shuts the door of that boat? God shuts the door of that boat. Not man. God does. Because only God knows when that flood is going to come. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. Are you getting the picture? Why do we skip these verses? Why do we allow people to say things that are not true? The Bible is very clear. These are the words of Jesus himself. This is not my opinion. This is not your opinion, the opinion of the Assemblies of God. This is God's word. Why is God going to pour out wrath? Because the same reason he did with Noah. Sin had hit its zenith. And God said, no longer is man going to tread upon my mercy any longer. And I will pour out wrath upon him. We see this when God sends his son back to the earth for his church before he pours out wrath upon the earth. Are you making the connection? If you are born again, listen to me. If you are born again, you have an appointment. You will either have an appointment with the rapture or you have an appointment with death, either one. Everybody in this room, you have an appointment with one or the two. Good news. Good news. Comfort one another. That shouldn't be a downer. You should be prepared. This should be comforted. Jesus is coming one way or the other. We're going to meet him through grave, right, through death, through, and we'll be with the, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you die, you go to be with Jesus, or you'll experience it with the rapture. Let me ask you this. Does new birth automatically make us ready for Christ's return? Does it automatically make us ready for Christ's return? And this is where some of us futurist pre-tribulation people have some disagreement. Some people believe once you're born again, that if you are born again before the rapture, no matter what your condition is, your state, you're going to go and you're going to be with the Lord. I disagree with that completely. I believe the Word of God is very clear on this subject. It's incumbent upon the believer to be ready for the return of Christ, period. That I believe that's what we see throughout the Word of God. The return of the risk of missing his return. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It means that you may, listen, experience tribulation then. You may experience the tribulation. It doesn't mean you forfeited your salvation. It just means you missed the first train out, bub. Be ready. It's not going to be easy. If you thought it was hard serving Jesus in this age, in this dispensation, can you imagine what it's going to be like in that 7-year period? I believe the Word of God is really clear on this. The timeline ends for us who are ready with the return of Jesus. It's over. We are entering into eternity. We go to be with the Lord. The timeline begins with the rapture for those who are left behind. For those who are left behind. Boy, isn't that amazing to think about? That little arrow that I've got. It ends the age, and it ends for us who are ready. We go to be with the Lord. But for those who are left behind, it starts a whole new chain of events that they must go through. Church, this should not cause us to be in glee and say, better you than me, bub. That should cause us pain. And it should cause us heartache for those who are not serving Jesus. Amen? Some people confuse the second coming of Jesus with the rapture. They're two separate events. They're distinct from one another, separated by the tribulation. The rapture occurs, and then the tribulation comes. The tribulation ends with the second coming. There's a battle we call, right? Armageddon, correct? Where the armies of heaven, where we come and return with Jesus, and we put Satan in his place. He's bound for 1,000 years, and we have something in another age called the millennial reign. So the end of the tribulation, Jesus returns with his church in the second coming, and it's visible to all. It's visible to all. When Jesus comes for his church in the rapture, it's not visible to all. It's visible for those who are ready. In the rapture, his feet does not touch the ground. We meet the Lord where? In the air, in the clouds. But at the second coming, he's coming, he'll step foot on earth once again. And listen, he's not coming as a lamb meek and mild. He's coming as a king. And he's taking what's his. And it's not going to be pretty. Jesus does not appear to mankind as that poor little sheep. He comes as a warrior. You know, I like to say we get to march in with him, but he does all the work. With the word, like a sword that goes out of his mouth, he'll destroy the enemies. When Jesus defeats the armies of God at the Battle of Armageddon, he will then set up his kingdom, and he will rule from the city of Jerusalem. If you don't get to Israel, okay, before you die, it's okay. You're going to spend 1,000 years there, all right? You're going to spend 1,000 years there. Ever thought about that? Don't waste your money. I know it's beautiful. You got the money to do the time. That's fine. But you're going to spend 1,000 years there anyway. All right. And remember, it's temporary. It's temporary. There's a new heaven and a new earth coming. As great and glorious as his second coming will be, remember this, that's not the event we're looking for. We're looking for Jesus and his return, anticipating the moment he calls us home. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and don't worry, she's not going to blow the trumpet today, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up, raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Maranatha, church, amen? Maranatha. Once the church is out of the way, the Antichrist is revealed, the tribulation will begin. God then begins to simultaneously pour out his wrath. And we see that associated with the seals, the seven seals, the seven vials, the seven trumpets. God pours out his wrath during that period, but he still offers grace. People will get saved during the tribulation. But can I tell you this? The church as we know it is over by this point. You say, well, how can that be? Because if you're truly going to be the body of Christ, so to speak, in the tribulation, you have someone to deal with called the false prophet. You bow your knee, worship the beast, or he ends your life. Listen, churches won't be mega churches anymore. They won't. There'll be a few that gather if they can and are not killed. You're going to be just hanging on for dear life during that period. It's going to be a difficult time. A difficult time. The false prophet will make sure everyone worships the beast. We can't even imagine. This kind of picture, it just does not connect with us. We think of it as fairy tale, don't we? It's coming. A day is coming. The Bible warns us. There will be people who are not ready when Jesus returns. There will be people who are not ready for Jesus when he returns. And many of them will then be on the front lines of the tribulation. They'll become preachers then. They'll understand that, you know what, it's either I live for Christ or I die and it's over. And there will be some people who will be deceived, who have missed the rapture, and they will not withstand the Antichrist because of fear, through deceit. They will enter the tribulation, and listen, in the tribulation, there is no more tiptoeing. There's so many of us, we tiptoe our way through our life in Christ. There will be no tiptoeing. You'll be either be in or you'll be out. One way or the other, people left behind will become preachers, or they themselves will be deceived, and they will side with the Antichrist and forever be deceived. During the tribulation, that's when we see the 144,000. Now, this causes some debate with some people, but I think it's very clear. 144,000 Jews, and they're sealed for this purpose, for preaching the gospel. Why is that? The church is gone. Salvation is first for the Jew and then Gentile. But a time is coming where the focus is back on the Jew first and then the Gentile. Remember, who did Jesus come to? To the Jews first and then to the Gentile, right? And only to the Gentiles when they express faith in him.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing and encouraging to you. The events of the end time should not cause us to be anxious as believers. Instead, the imminency of these great events should encourage us to ready ourselves and to ready others for the glorious return of our Savior. If you're in our area and you're looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. We have children's ministries available. Or you can join us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Again, I want to thank you for listening to this broadcast, and I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.